Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Tell about the, describe the farm up on the Mooney Road. How long?
Oh, there was, ...50 acres on the south side of the road, and 100 acres on the north side. And there was 2 cow pastures down near Ford's. Well, we kept them nights, and across the road we kept them daytimes in the other pasture up near the town line between Jim Manili's pasture and ours. We drove them down the lane to milk them down the lane and crossed the road over into the barn. That's when my grandfather would say, well, head those cows into the barnyard, and I used to let one go by, then I'd have to go after it, down to Croft Brook, between Rusty Manili's and our place. Well, there was a hip roof barn, that was a horse barn.
The horse barn was hip roof?
Yeah.
And the cow barn was pointed roof?
Slatting roof. Yeah.
How long was the horse barn?
Well, you see, the first horse barn that was there burned by lightning. And my father built this other one, or helped to build it. He lost one horse in that fire. He got one out, and the rest of them came out, but one went back in, and he went in after, and they, of course, I didn't know it. He went in after and he threw a buffalo over her head, and then he couldn't get her up. She burned to death, one of them. The people kept hollering for him to come out, not let the horse go, because she can't get her up. Well, I don't know how long that barn would be. It's a hip roof barn. It was wide enough for 3 buggies on that side, and a workbench, and pegs where we used to hang the harnesses, and the buggy on that side. Well, it was a good sized horse barn. With 5 stalls, size of box stall. Then you went up the stairs. You go up the stairs. It was a closed in stairway up to push the hay down. There were slats in front of each horse, and a hole in front of each horse, where you'd push the hay with that slat, and then they could go up there and get the hay just as they wanted. They didn't have to walk on the hay. I went up there and pushed the hay down there lots of times. Just an ordinary little forkful for each horse, 3 times a day.
Was there a partition between the area where the buggies were and the area where the box stalls were?
Oh, yeah. That was a slide door.
Did you whitewash the barn inside?
No, they kept it clean, but it wasn't whitewashed. There's some medicine cabinets in there, screwed to the wall. See, 4 medicine cabinets they had for the horses. Box stall was over here, the rest of the horses was facing north.
The box stall was for her birth. How long was the cow barn?
Oh, long enough for first they had them in a small cow barn off the big barn where the hay and straw was, where they used to thrash. And then he built the barn that ran east and west, put swing stanchions in, and he built it large enough for 30 cows.
15 on each side?
Yeah. No, they were facing. There are 15 on each side, and you go between them to feed them. The hay was up top.
Cement floor?
Yeah.
whitewashed inside?
Yeah, nice and clean.
Were all the barns painted red?
No, they were all wood colored but the horse barn.
And that was painted?
Yeah, that was painted. Trimmed with white.
The horse barn wasn't larger than the cow barn?
No.
Smaller?
No, more, just much room upstairs. Mm-hmm. That's where the hay farm was.
Did you put most of your hay in the cow barn or in the horse barn?
Oh, I always had to fill the cow barn.
100 tons?
Well, it wouldn't hold 100 tons with that slanting roof, but we had this other hay barn that was full. And we'd have to carry it across through the barn. When the hay was gone over the cows and we started on this other bay, the old barn was full of hay and grain.
You never used any of the hay in the horse barn to feed the cows?
No. And we had special hay for the horses, timothy. No crow.
Cows can't eat timothy?
Oh, yes, but they want the clover's bad for horses. When it dries, it gives them the heaves. So we had a certain field that we used for the horses. Timothy hay with heads on it about that long.
Besides the cow barn, the horse barn, and the hay barn, how many other barns?
Well, there was a pig pen, just 4 pigs. Red, well, that was red. And my grandfather had 4 or 5 barrels of swill in there.
How'd he make that?
Well, he made it out of Midlands and skim milk from the factory. Then he put boiled potatoes in it too. Skim milk and Midlands and boiled potatoes.
What are Midlands?
Midlands come from wheat that's ground. Thick stuff like flour.
And then you had a corn crib?
No, we didn't have any corn. No, we had a granary. That was east of the horse barn. And it was up on blocks of wood about that high. With tin pans, like about the size of this dish pan that I've been using a few minutes ago. Over the blocks, and then build the granary on those tin pans. Blocks of wood about that long, about that big around. 8 or 9 of them. So when the rats and mice would come along, they'd climb up the wooden blocks, but they couldn't climb on the tin pan. And they couldn't get in the way.
Tin pans must have been something else besides tin. Were they solid in the middle, or were they hollow?
No, they were solid. Put them right over, this is your block, put them right over like that, and they'd climb up this block, but they couldn't get around on this tin because they'd slip off. Probably have 600 bushel of oats in there.
Was the house painted?
Yeah.
What color?
Why, it looked to me, it was kind of faded. It looked to me as if they painted it yellow color. Trimmed it white. Yellow. I don't know what they've done with it.
What were the rooms downstairs?
Let me see, there was a woodshed and our kitchen and a big pantry on that side. And then you come up a long hall, turn to the left, and that's where my grandfather and grandmother were. Andy and Nancy.
Did they have one bedroom, just one room, or two?
Well, they had 3 rooms on the east side of the house. And you could come from our pantry and go into our parlor. And you turn left and you go upstairs, 4 or 5 bedrooms. Then there was a front porch facing Jim Manili's on the south side, a little front porch. Then there was a back porch that my father had 8 boys build to face the Manilis. That's where she was hanging across. Then we had an orchard there. And he had a lot of honeybees out there in the orchard. 10, 11 hives of bees.
Did he collect the honey, or did your grandmother?
My grandmother done the most of it. He couldn't get near the bees. I'd chase him up the road. She'd go out and get the honey and hive the bees with no mosquito netting over her head or nothing.
Who had the best farm in the neighborhood?
Well, ours. I think we're going to call ours the best.
How about Manila's?
Well, his was good too. It's all the same land. Manila had a good spring on their farm, a ram, that forced the water up to their house. You'd hear it clicking and clicking.
Did they have more cows than you?
No.
They did later on, of course, they had
dairy. Well, they did later on when they went to the milk business. See, I worked the Russians on the milk cart. I guess they had about 40. Asher's, or Asher's cow.
Who were the worst farmers around?
Well, the Manson's farm, next to ours, was close to the hard pan. It was blue land, close to the hard pan. And they raised many potatoes. If they couldn't raise much of any corn or grain, they specialized in potatoes. There wasn't much on the dairy. They have a lot of thin cattle around, but I don't know where they got the feed for them. They say, went over to Mike Maloney or somewhere and cut some hay on that swale grass. Well, they raised lots of good stuff too. They always had a wonderful garden. And they had a good orchard at Manson's. I remember that. Some good russet trees, russet apples.
He must have been a relative of yours.
Uncle Fred Manson?
He must have been your mother's uncle.
Yeah, he was my mother's mother's brother. So they're brother and sister. Tall man with curly wavy hair.
Was his house painted?
Oh yeah. It was painted an ice cream color trimmed with brown. That's where Nana was born. There ain't a thing there now, hardly a tree.
Just the willows.
Well, I guess there's one or three, four willows around. Bombadillions, they call them, or willow.
Were there any very poor people along the road who lived in shacks?
Well, as you went towards, along through the swamp where Jim King lived, violin player, had a couple of beautiful horses, and they get sick, and my father would cure them. Nigger was the name of the blackest one. Jim was always drawing wood with Nigger. He had five or six different bells on him in the winter. He was a nice fat horse with a red ribbon in his tail, red ribbons in his mane, and hitched to the sleds to draw wood to Malone. Everybody burned wood, most everybody, them days. But Jim would play nights, or play violin around the kitchen dances. Lived in a white log house, too. Nice and clean.
Were there dirtier houses around?
Well, you get over in back to Mike Maloney's, and it was pretty filthy. Old Bats Irish. Oh yeah, Tom White lived in there with Mike, and old Blanc White, he was a Frenchman, they called him Blanc. Old Blanc White, Albert Earle's wife, from number 40 up there with the Burnses and the Lucys and the Coughlins and the all Irish, number 40, but it's all gone, growed up to trees now. Clara Lucy, George Lucy married Blanc White's daughter. But she's pretty. Clara was nice looking. But it was older and dirty. I've been older, lots of times. Well, not lots of times. I remember having a meal with her.
Tell about the fours. They right back of you?
Yeah, right down the road. About a mile down back of us. Our fence ran between their farm and theirs. Filthy Irish. In some ways there was.
Tell how the Fords lived.
Well, there were three brothers and a mother. I never seen the father of those Ford people. Jimmy Ford. Jimmy and Johnny were twins, and then there was a tall one by the name of Tommy. He was always over in the potato field picking potato bugs and hoeing. I seen him last time, but he died with consumption. He died a long time before Johnny and Jimmy ever did. Jimmy was a school teacher, a country school teacher, and Johnny was the farmer. But Johnny thought he fell in love with some girl around the neighborhood, and he lost his mind to a certain extent. Oh, they were kind of shabby farmers. They didn't care much about cleaning up their barn until they had to, and they always had an ugly shepherd dog, and they didn't put any screen doors on the house, and full of flies. And Jimmy drove a bay horse and carriage to the schoolhouses to teach. I remember that. Fat fella, but Johnny was slim. I never seen the father of those three boys, old Ford himself. And the hens and the little pigs was running around the house and rooting around. And when they took a notion to go in the kitchen, they went. Because I'd been in there when the rooster and the little pig was behind the stove with my grandmother. And the old lady Ford would be stirring up something to eat, like homemade biscuits or I don't know what else. They had something stewing on the stove all the time. And soup or veal or something, I don't know what it was. It sure didn't have very good odor. And Johnny was always losing a cow down there in the pasture next to ours. And you'd hear him holler, "Sport, come and get her, sport, come and get her." I listened to him lots of times. And as he grew older, he was a whole lot crazy. I don't think you'd call him crazy. He was just odd and off his nut. Because he came up one Sunday morning when my mother and myself was hitching up a horse to go to Belmont Church, and come Johnny into the carriage house. He said, "There's 500 of your cattle down there in my corn." He didn't have any 500 cattle, and he didn't have any corn. Well, my mother said, "Just soon we can get around to it, we'll go and get them all out." said there was 500 of them in there. He said, yep, not more. So he went around the corner of the barn, down through the field, back home, hollering, sport, take an hour. I don't know, I seen him afterwards, after we'd been to Bangor for 4 years. I seen him down here at the watering kettle where they used to water horses. He isn't there anymore. Lyndon Baker's business is there now. Well, anyway, I said, hello, Johnny. I think I was on Russ's milk cart. He says, and I don't know you. I said, you don't know me. I said, I know you. You're Johnny Ford. Oh, yes, he said. I remember the day they brought you from Potsdam done up in the desert. That's the speech out of Johnny Ford. And then you'd see him down around that. They had a lot of beautiful sheep. There were a lot of sheep. The cattle looked very darn good.
At your house, did your parents and your grandparents get along well together?
They lived in one side of the house, and we lived in the other. Ralph and I was always in to talk with Granny.
Was he easy to get along with?
Yeah, smoking his clay pipe, just black as your shoe. One in the state.
Front of the wood stove?
He was always saying, I do declare.
How did he get along with your grandma?
How did he?
No.
She was easy going, and he was quick. He was swing his arms and whoop, yell some, not really at her. Well, as I've told you before, she would get breakfast and wash the dishes, and she would candle a case of eggs, I guess about 12 dozen, or 6 dozen maybe. Well, of course, he'd go after the cows and wander around the oat field and clean off his horses. He'd have the hired man grease the wagon, then we'd go in the Malone with the eggs, trade them in for groceries. And then she'd shave him, when he'd come back. She'd shave him and put his, he couldn't tie a tie or nothing. And he'd go to the barn and the hired man would be doing something out around the cow barn or horse barn. And he'd have him hitch the horse up right away. Before grandmother was ready, because she had to get herself ready to look presentable. Coming home. Well, he had a ring in the corner of the house about that size, and he'd tie the horse there. And then he'd say, I do declare, it's like fitting out a ship for Ireland to get you started for Malone. And she wouldn't make him any answer. I was around there, I'd seen that. And then he'd put his hands behind his back and smoke that pipe and walk on the porch. Pretty soon she'd say, Andy, these eggs are ready to load in the buggy. And we were off to them.
Did he do any work around the farm?
Oh, yeah. He had a beautiful garden with a woven wire fence around it. Couldn't find a weed with a spyglass. And everything. And a gate to go in.
Who did the most work? The hired man or your father?
Well, they all did. I think he'd rather work alone. He's a great man of whole potatoes and corn. And that pipe in his mouth. And if you couldn't find him, you go in the garden and find him on his knees, weeding carrots. Or onions. He'd grow onions that big. Good land, and it was fertile, and he made it rich with fertilizer and manure.
Did your father and the hired man ever argue over what was to be done?
No.
The hired man worked pretty good?
Well, he worked for 7 years, you see. There wasn't any arguing at all. Then we had, in potato digging, we had Andrew Rivette and Bill Tucker. Dig the potatoes by hand.
Did you three boys ever have to help?
Yeah, we have to pick up little ones when I come out of school.
Uncle Lyle, he was too young. How old did they start Uncle Ralph working?
Start him working?
Yeah.
Can't remember. Of course, he went to school him and Lyle longer than I ever thought of. Ralph was good around the farm, but he didn't like it as well, but I don't think. It seems to me I heard him say, "Oh, them cows has got to be milked on Sunday night." See, we're on duty Sundays as well as on Mondays. Everything had to be done on Sunday. Of course, we wouldn't do any field work on Sunday. Those cattle had to be fed in the barns, cleaned, milk taken care of.
Was Andy religious?
Yes, in a way. Not like she was. He went to Methodist Church.
To Malone? And the rest of the family went to Belmont?
Well, they did. For some reason, I don't know what Nana wanted to go over that way once in a while, but she went to this church too. Big Jim McGowan went to this church. Gave him a lot of money. Big Jim with a goatee. And a black swallowtail coat.
During the regular year, did you ever have more than one hired man?
No, just one until potato digging or thrashing. Five or six around thrashing.
How long did thrashing
take? 2 or 3 days.
Did the men sleep at your house or?
No, they were neighbor.
They go home. They ate there.
My Grandma Nancy and my mother, was they ever cooking in a thrashing school? Everybody was black and dirty. But they had a bench outside, you know, and 2 or 3 wash dishes and some towels hanging on the hill. And they take off there before you come in.
Did you boys have to work too?
Thrashing?
Yeah.
No, we tended the cows. We wasn't thrashing.
How long did potato digging take?
14 acres.
Yeah.
By hand.
How long did it take to do it?
Oh, well. It would be snowing sometimes. Dig potatoes after the fair.
When did you start?
After the fair. Monday morning after the fair, start digging potatoes. Fill the cellar with potatoes up to the roof. Say this was a cellar. Run them in there till they hit this floor. And you couldn't crawl in there on your stomach. Then we put the rest of them in pits out in the field and cover them up with dirt and potato tops.
Which potatoes lasted the best? The ones in the cellar or the ones in the field? The ones
didn't make any difference. They're Green Mountain potatoes. Beautiful white potatoes.
Off 14 acres of land, how many potatoes did you get? How many bushels?
14 acres? I get 250 bushels an acre.
Was that a good yield, relatively, with everybody else?
Yeah, they're all the same. Some years you wouldn't get only 175 bushels an acre.
Was manure the only fertilizer you used?
No, they didn't use so much manure as you might think, because they made them scabby. They use regular phosphate, potato phosphate, 10-20. I can't remember. I used to read it on the phosphate.
Did you use manure for everything else, for every other type of
Yeah, especially crop? Corn and grain. Boys, it shoots the gal darn corn up.
Who banked the house, the hired man and your father?
I helped lots of things.
Did dirt or manure?
No, we use dirt and potato tops. I wouldn't put manure around there, else it stains it. Has a stove down cellar, you know, keep potatoes and trees.
You had to build a wooden framework around the outside of the bank.
Yeah, we use the same boards every year. When we took the boards for the banking away, we put them boards in under the shed where the tools was. They were elm boards, that wide. Just about two, you see. Of course, we didn't bank the whole house. We banked where the potatoes was, down cellar. Because you can see the frost coming through the wall.
You didn't bank the rest of the house?
No.
They babied Uncle Lyle a lot, because he was young. Did he have to do any work up there on the Lehigh Canal?
No, he was born.
Was he born there and then in the house?
Yeah, no house.
Did they send you children away somewhere else?
No, we went to Denver. Doctor was there. I can't remember how much work I was doing. I guess he was fussing around with my mother planting shrubs. I don't think he ever milked the cow. Now, I hate to say that, having known it. I don't think he ever did. He was all steady.
Sickly when he was young?
Yes, he was.
How about the hens?
Oh, yeah. He went in the pig pen there in that alleyway there where all them barrels are for the pigs, gosh. Skim milk and grain. And the old hen was in there, an old buff Cochin hen. She had 12, 14 chickens. Those were the hens that had feathers on their legs. And he went bothering them chickens in some way. The old hen thought so. And she jumped on him and downed him. That's why he's got a scar up there. That's where she was picking him. Scratching him with her claws. And the grandmother was on the porch and she heard the fuss and she went out. And she threw that hen through over into the barnyard.